Florida's gyms and fitness centers are back open this week. Will you go work out? Good morning. We're live from Studio 5. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. Just ahead, a look at the next phase of reopening the state, and that includes gyms. Give us a call. It's 549-2937. Then later, more of our brand new Jacksonville music experience here at WJCT. We'll take a listen. But first this hour, the latest on the pandemic in the state by the numbers. Statewide, the Florida Department of Health reports 46,442 cases. That's 854 more than were reported just 24 hours earlier. The state has 1,997 deaths. In Northeast Florida, we have 2,078 reported cases and 72 deaths. Duval County recorded its 1,300th positive test Monday via updated numbers from the State Health Department. Now, amidst these numbers, Florida does continue its reopening. Another change we saw this week, gyms and fitness centers opened back up to the public, but with some restrictions. Brent Parrish owns Black Hive Athletics in Jacksonville. He opened this week, and he's on the line now for a closer look at how this is all going. Hi, Brent. Do we have you there, Brent? Okay.
Yeah, hey, how are you doing?
Hey, Brent, good to talk to you. And as we talk about the reopening of gyms and fitness centers around the state this week, here's our question to callers. Do you feel comfortable going back to your gym or not? Give us a call. It's 549-2937. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets, already getting lots of them. Send them to @MelissaInJax or comment on our Facebook page. So you have a CrossFit-style gym, Brent, and several locations around the area, right?
Correct. We have six locations throughout the North Florida area.
And you reopened yesterday, along with so many other facilities around the state. How did that go?
It went really, really well. We had a lot of great feedback. I got a lot of personal texts from a lot of longtime members. Got a lot of new members that just actually started yesterday, and they were very pleased with what they experienced for the first time. And the longtime members really saw a difference in the way that we were running classes, the cleanliness, the way that coaches were approaching them, as well as kind of carrying through the entire process of the 60-minute class that we offer.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about the sanitation and social distancing and masking protocols you have in place.
So while we were closed, we had a couple of hundred, actually 200 masks made. We offer them to our members. They're branded and they're a fabric, reusable, cleanable mask. We offer them to our members. We ask that our coaches use them when they're getting into a closed social area. And so masks are being requested to be worn by our coaches during those classes. We have large facilities, so not at all times are people within close proximity. And during the class, we offer disinfectant wipes, obviously. We have mopping protocols, cleaning protocols, wiping protocols during class. We're making sure that we're just continuously branding that thought of continue to wipe down your equipment before and after the use of that particular equipment. And we're asking our athletes continuously to stay within their workout area. So a lot of facilities that we've experienced as CrossFit gyms don't really have a dedicated workout station for their athletes. It's kind of a lot of people congregating in a small area, mm-hmm. Talking about the workout before the workout, and then essentially just kind of finding your space in the gym on the matting and kind of going to work. Sometimes you end up really close. Sometimes you have a large area depending on the size of the gym. With our facilities, we've actually gone in and made sure that we have about an 8 to 10 foot section square that's really dedicated to that athlete or that client's workout station so that they don't have to necessarily commingle so much and they're not so close. And we ask them repeatedly to stay in that area. And then again, before a new class starts, our coaches are going in with disinfectant mopping, making sure they're cleaning and asking athletes to come in through a particular door and then exit through a particular door so that we can keep those classes segregated and then really have the opportunity to offer that cleaning between the classes.
So taking lots of precautions. And as we speak with Brent Parrish, owner of Black Hive Athletics, here's our question to callers. What do you think about the reopening of Florida's gyms this week and fitness centers? Will you go back to your gym and work out or not? It's 549-2937 to join us. And so, Brent, wearing masks while you work out, I was contemplating that the other day, thinking about whether I was going to go back to the YMCA, the Winston Y, that's where I belong. And I was thinking, you know, it might be kind of hard to work up some cardio or even do weights with a mask on. How are your athletes handling that?
So, again, we ask. Or we tell our athletes, you know, if you would wear a mask, that's great. We're not enforcing them, and I don't know that there's a particular way to enforce a large group of 5 to 8 people to particularly wear a mask during an intense workout. What we're really trying to do is say, hey, you know, if you want to wear a mask, make sure that you wear it during the workout, because it is difficult. I actually did it several times just to see what it was like. I mean, it's not just the breathing part, but it's also, it's wrapped around your head or your ears. It creates a lot more just kind of aggravation through the workout. So what we're really trying to do is face people away from each other while they're working out. There are things that you just don't think about during high-intense workouts that occur and have been brought to our attention. So when you're lifting heavy, you know, you might have sweat drip off your nose, and it kind of, you take a gasp of air and you breathe out, and that sweat all of a sudden becomes, you know, projectile sweat to the person possibly in front of you. And that's why keeping that distance is really important and making sure that we're facing people away from people while we're in those classes are pretty important. And then obviously asking for cooperation and saying, hey, you know, let's wear masks if you can and you feel comfortable. Those are kind of hard to do, you know, in a large group, but we've certainly requested and asked and not really sure how we could particularly enforce it and people still feel comfortable enough to particularly work out. But if you are, you know, we ask them to take a little bit more time and just really realize what's happening so that you're not getting overheated and you're not losing your breath, you know, things like that.
And what would you say, Brent, to people listening to this who miss, you know, going into stores, going into the gym, restaurants, whatever? They understand the need to reopen and certainly the need of business owners like you to get back on your feet. But at the same time, a gym is an enclosed space where people are breathing heavily, sweating, as you said. Concerns about this or that it could certainly escalate more transmission of the virus. What do you say to the people who feel this is too soon?
So I'm very common sense oriented, I would propose, and I really try to respect other people's opinions. I really try to respect the value that they have on something or the lack thereof. We've always worked on the common sense. Cleanliness is next to godliness. We need to make sure the facilities are clean. One of our biggest pushes through the last 5 years is we don't want people coming in and ruining their clothes on our floors. So we should have scrubbed floors on a biweekly basis. We should be clean. We actually open our bay doors and we have a lot of free air flowing through the facility. So it's a little bit safer, you know, than just being cooped up in a small room. But if you're not interested in coming in because of those issues, I would say stay home, work out at home, try to get equipment. I know there should be a lot of people that are returning to the gym. They're trying to sell their gym equipment. That was a big issue. Try to maybe purchase gym equipment and still work out at home and stay fit. But ultimately, you know, if you feel that it's not the right time for you to return to a restaurant, to a store.
Yeah,
or to a
don't
gym,
go back. And let me, as a follow-up to that, how much of your clientele has come back and how much do you perceive maybe you're still staying home?
Well, we do pretty good. And I would say as of last night, we were looking, we have about 80, 85% return of our clients as of last night about 10 o'clock.
Okay.
So everyone was pretty excited about coming back to the gym. I have talked to several people that have been a part of other gyms, you know, throughout the area, and they've decided to come back in. I'm just going purely based on numbers. What we had before the COVID and what we have now, it's about 85% of what we had. And so a lot of people are extremely concerned about the cleanliness. I think they want to be a part of a program that has that process and protocol in place where they're actually physically seeing that there's a clean facility, that there are people there cleaning throughout the day, which is not very common in the CrossFit industry, that there's actual, we have a janitorial service that's actually dedicated to our facility. So they're making their rounds throughout the day twice a day, and our athletes actually see it. So I think they feel pretty confident and comfortable, but we also, you know, have gotten that brand awareness, I guess, of like, this is probably the cleanest CrossFit gym you'll come to. The doors are open. We have barbells. We're doing, you know, weightlifting. We're doing high-intensity workouts. But also their staff is on top of clean bathrooms. They're on top of making sure the trash is taken out. They're on top of making sure that the mats are scrubbed on a bi-weekly basis. They're on top of making sure the disinfectant wipes are there and athletes are actually utilizing it.
And I want to jump in and get to some calls because this is a hot topic. As we speak with Brent Parrish, the owner of Black Hive Athletics, that's a CrossFit-style gym with several locations around Northeast Florida. Gyms, fitness centers opened again this week. What do you think about that? It's 549-2937. John is on the road in Jacksonville. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to add in that I've been waiting for my gym to open up.
What's your gym? Can you tell us?
Yeah, Planet Fitness down in Argent Park.
Yeah, okay.
I don't subscribe to either political theory, and I just want to go work out. And that gym has always been clean. And if you clean up your equipment before and after you work out and stay away from people in the locker room at a safe distance, I don't see any harm in it, to be honest with you. And being at home, for some reason, I have some workout equipment, but it's too close to the couch and the refrigerator, and they seem to win out.
I know the feeling. So, but is your gym back open, or did they reopen this week or not? They're still not open. Okay.
I'm waiting. All right. I'm watching the internet with anticipation for them to open up again.
All right, John. Thanks for that. 549-2937. Tracy is on the line. Hi, Tracy.
Hi. Good morning. Good morning. My thinking is, fitness is that important? Is it worth taking the risk? Why not wait for one more month? People in New York are without fitness center, and it takes only two cases to spread everywhere. Really, it's not worth another 30 days.
Thank you. Bye. Brent Parrish, what about that argument? Why not wait a few more weeks?
You know, I do think that kind of toting on the line of the gentleman who we just talked with and her, it's common sense. I think that there should be more regulation and protocol. I think there's a lot of confusion as it relates to what the actual ordinance or what this looks like from the government. There's zero guidance. And so you're really relying on common sense, right? And these days, in my, again, opinion, common sense just isn't so common. And so what is clear
the state didn't give you strict instructions on the reopening. Can you explain that a little more?
So they really just gave us a percentage. So, you know, I proposed that a building can hold, one of our facilities can hold 50 square foot per person and 5,000 square foot. So that's a lot of people. We would never put 100 people or so or whatever in a building with a CrossFit gym. But that would be 75 or 50% or even 25% would still be a lot of people. You know, if we had 25 people in one of these facilities at one time, the way that these workouts work, where there's stations for wall balls, maybe a barbell movement, and then a pull-up station, you're kind of moving to three different areas. Now you're really turning this into a 200 square foot per person workout station. So you're really cutting this down by, you know, four times. And so they're kind of giving you these vague instructions of like, hey, propose to wear a mask. And I get it. Like, you can't make someone wear a mask, but we can ask our staff, hey, wear a mask. And so our staff is at least making sure that they're not perpetuating the commingling of these viruses, but they really just haven't given specific, strict instructions. It's very vague. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, common sense, like mop between classes, disinfect, ask your clients for their help, ask them to bring hand sanitizer, ask them to bring disinfectants, because they are very few and far between for businesses. We went to order a couple of gallons of hand sanitizer, and it was like, it took me 3 hours to find a company that could even ship it within 7 days.
Right. Still have shortages. So kind of just, and so, right. So what I hear you saying is, depending on which fitness center you belong to, the rules, the situation could be very different depending on where you go, because it's really up to each individual owner, isn't it?
It really is. It's just like a restaurant. So we went on a boat, pulled up to a restaurant, and I mean, there had to be 150 people on this deck that I would say is maybe 6,000 square foot. It seems like a lot of people, and there's a lot of commingling, you know, and so there's not, and it's outside, but can you ask kind of the waitresses and the service industry, and you've asked a couple of restaurant owners, and they're in the same boat. They're just like, okay, we're at 25% capacity inside the building. Outside the building, it's kind of just use common sense. But again, there's not a whole lot of common sense. And so, you know, it's very, very vague, and everyone asks the owner, you know, what's the government asking you to do? I look at them and go, we're doing the same thing we've always done. We're just being very stringent about it with our staff mm-hmm. members. We're not allowing yeah. any room for error.
Sure. And we're getting emails. You know, we're just getting lots of tweets and emails, Brent, for you. Here's one from Michelle. I feel comfortable going to my gym. It's 9 Round Beach Boulevard because they are taking very serious cleaning and distancing measures. She says, I feel more comfortable at the gym than many restaurants, which I've seen packed. To your point, Brent. And we have so many tweets coming into the show as we talk with Brent Parrish, owner of Black Hive Fitness, asking you, do you feel more comfortable going to the gym than other places as the gyms reopen this week or not? Here are just a few tweets. Here's one from Jim talking about the gym. He says, no way. I walk about 6 miles every day, 3 when the weather's bad, and I spend about 20 hours a week in the office, 20 hours splitting wood and farming. That's enough exercise for me. Joe tweets the show, considering how much less healthy I am today than I was 2 months ago, I'm going on Thursday to see how it goes. I need to work out. I'll pause again if it doesn't feel safe, but it does seem they're going above and beyond. Here's a tweet from Brian. I remember years ago, after concerns about the MRSA virus, the custom of wiping down equipment when you're done became more important. Gyms and parks might be like grocery stores. You need to take precautions, but you probably need to visit them now and then. Steven tweets, the simplest precaution is just stay home. Don't go to the gym and work out outside. Okay, what about that one comment, Brent, that the practice of wiping down equipment after you use it at the gym, that was actually virus-driven from a previous pandemic. People never used to do that until relatively recently, right?
You know, yeah. As long as I've lived, I've always kind of wiped things down as people were touching them and after I use something. But yeah, you know, I would say for some, yeah, that could be a fairly new practice. I know MRSA is a big deal, especially in a lot of gyms. Don't not wear shoes and flip-flops. Again, it's kind of just going back to the fact of, it sounds like there's some people that want to use common sense, clean, make sure that they're doing the right things by the right people, not just for themselves, but also making sure that the next person who always has to, who wants to use it, you know, and I think those people are of the mindset of, you know, I want to leave things better than I found them. And that's a good mindset to have. Unfortunately, to the fact of some of the others where you're like, I'm chopping wood and I'm just going to stay outside. I don't feel like the need to go to the gym and get plenty of exercise. Yeah, you're still exercising and keep doing that too. Just stay fit, right? And stay active. Don't just sit at home and close the door and lock yourself off to the outside world. But also, you know, if that's what you feel like is going to continue your fitness and you don't feel the need to go in and want to have to deal with all that stuff, then absolutely don't go in and don't deal with it. I think that no matter what, once this COVID matter is, you know, a thing of the past, like MRSA was, I would assume we still don't need to go back to quote unquote the old normal. You know, we should always be in the mindset of leaving things better than the way we found them, whether we're at the grocery store or whether we're, you know, in a restaurant or in a gym or in someone's home, you know. And so it's, are you hanging out with your neighbors? And if you're hanging out with your neighbors, are you wearing a mask? How do you know who your neighbor hung out with right before they came to you? You know, these are a lot of questions that you have to kind of ask yourself, and how much do you trust them and what their lifestyle is like? And so I don't think you should stop living your life. I think you should live your life and have a healthy, happy lifestyle without fear of getting something that could kill you. But also, you know, I think you should take precaution and make sure that you're around the people that are going to protect you and make sure they're going to protect themselves.
All right.
When we're all
and
together.
Let's go now. Let me just bring in Bob in Atlantic Beach. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Good morning. I'd like to point out that with the rather poor performance by our government, I feel that I am responsible for me and I am answerable to me. I try to be reasonable, and I try to, for example, use clean equipment when I'm in public places. But I think in the long run, the government is overreaching with no effectiveness. I don't think a lot of this stuff is protecting us. I think it's just people playing politics.
Well, like what stuff? What stuff don't you think is protecting us?
I think, for example, giving gyms how they're supposed to have people come in and stuff like that. The truth of the matter is we don't really know objectively if protecting me will include limiting gyms to 25, 50%, 75%, or 100% of its capacity. Because if an infected person comes in, that's all that counts.
Okay.
I think a lot of this stuff.
So Bob, will you avoid places like gyms and restaurants for the time being or not?
I will not.
You will not.
I try to make sure that I go in. If I'm in a public place until this is over with, I will probably wear a mask. I'm not sure how the mask is going to work out in the gym, but I will make sure the gym equipment is clean before and after my use.
All right, Bob. Thanks for that. You know, Brent, I think a lot of people do feel that they're on their own, that, you know, that they've got to really aggressively manage these choices when they go out in public. And, you know, so on the one hand, we have a real sense of unity in this crisis, but on the other, a lot of people feel like, hey, I'm on my own here.
Yeah, I think it is. I think we are. I think we are on our own. We have to be smart. So I have a 5-year-old daughter. She's about to be 5 on May 27th, and she started school fairly early in her first year. And it seemed like, you know, every winter, you know, she came home with a cold. You know, it was like this infestation of the flu at her school. And it seemed like that perpetuated through many schools. And so we started taking precautions. You know, we started saying, okay, well, she's not going to go to school in December. That seemed to be the time for the first 2 years that she got sick. And so, you know, we would ask her teachers, like, what are you guys doing to try and, or if you see a kid who's coughing and, you know, sneezing, are you asking them to not come into class, make their parents take them home? Because it's not fair to the rest of us that we get sick. So now she gets sick from that kid. I get sick. I can't go to work. Her mother gets sick. She can't go to work. Now she, you know, if we do, we get our coworkers sick. And it's the same thing here. You know, it's like 5 years ago was my first experience with it. I couldn't believe it. I thought I had the plague. And still, you know, I at least was like, okay, this is common sense. I need to not send her to school, especially if I see another sick kid, and then have a conversation with her teachers and say, hey, you know, if they're sick kids, don't permit them into school. Ask your parents to take them home. They're, you know, it's not fair to the rest of the environment. And so it's people kind of helping people, really. And I think as a civilization, we're doing that now. I've seen people be much more considerate of me than I would say they were previously. So walking through Publix, I do think it's helped because people are more cognitive of their space, you know, and it almost seems like they're kinder to one another. So I don't know that this has been horrific and horrible. It's definitely opened people's eyes to see that, yeah, they are on their own, and we need to think about each other a little bit more than just kind of going in and and just doing things ancillarily without giving true thought to them. Like, if I'm sick, I probably don't need to go to the restaurant. If I'm sick, I probably need to go to the gym. If my husband got sick, I probably don't need to go into work because I could possibly get it. Or if my wife, et cetera. So, you know, I think it's been a good thing on one hand, and I think it's definitely opened the public's eyes as far as I can see in our communities here at the gyms and what I've seen in a lot of other restaurants, stores, you know, everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for joining us and keep in touch, because it is a big change for the state as gyms and fitness centers reopen this week. Brent Parrish is the owner of Black Hive Athletics. That's a CrossFit style gym with multiple locations around the area. I know a few CrossFit people, Brent, and I know how much they like to work out. So I'm sure they're happy to be back with you.
Family, it is. It's been great. So I certainly appreciate your time. And if we can ever answer any questions for any of your listeners, and if we can ever help anybody else understand what we're doing differently and what should be done really and perpetuated throughout the fitness industry at the very least, we're happy to discuss up. And we love suggestions. So if they have any suggestions for us, please email us at info@blackhiveathletics.com, and we're happy to implement anything we can.
Thanks, Brent. Have a great one. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we've got much more still ahead on the show later. The launch of our Jacksonville Music Experience with some new programming we want to tell you about. That's later, but up next.
To be honest, you know, disappointing that the students haven't been able to participate in all of the fun activities.
The pandemic and how it's affecting the graduating class of 2020. That's in a moment.
Miles. Herbie. Monk. They're all part of Jazz Festival Weekend. 3 days of jazz on TV, radio, streaming, and online. It's Jazz Festival Weekend on the Jacksonville Music Experience. Full lineup at wjct.org/jacksmusic.
Voidcast from WJCT is a musical journey through Northeast Florida. I'm the host, Void Magazine editor Matt Shaw. Join me while I cut through the digital noise to share hand-picked local music stories. WJCT.org/Voidcast.
Electro Lounge can now be heard Monday through Fridays at 10 p.m. till midnight and Saturdays from 9 to 11. Join us at the Electro Lounge only on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, the graduating class of 2020 got a televised address the other night from former President Barack Obama. Great, right? But still, it's tough for this class. They won't get to have the ceremony and cap and gown. They've missed out on grad night, the prom, all of those important senior year rituals. I spoke about it with Rachel Tutwiler Fortune. She's the executive director of the Jacksonville Public Education Fund. Hi, Rachel. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Melissa.
You know, you really have to feel for the class of 2020 graduating high school or college in this pandemic. There's so much to say about this, but I know this is personal for you and your son, Nick, who's graduating from Stanton this spring. What's it been like for you and your family?
It is so personal and has really taken us by surprise, as I know it has all parents and all parents and seniors in particular. To be honest, you know, disappointing that the students haven't been able to participate in all of the fun activities that seniors, after working so hard to complete their educational journey, have an opportunity to take advantage of each year. There's no prom, there's no grad bash. Of course, we're hoping here in Duval County that their graduations are delayed at best to July. But I'll be honest, I'm just so proud of my son and so many other seniors. They're proving themselves to be so resilient through all of this. I think us parents are probably even more disappointed than they are about these unfortunate changes and circumstances.
Sure. So in addition to what you're dealing with in your own household, tell us a little bit about how the Jacksonville Public Education Fund is working with educators and students right now who are trying to get to the end of the school year.
Mm-hmm. It's a great question. We've really tried to be as supportive as possible to educators and the students who they're educating, especially in our highest needed communities, our high poverty areas. We recognize that there is so much about students being able to attend school that really helps to level the playing field. And unfortunately, in circumstances like this, we're reminded of how important it is that through our mission, we focus on closing that opportunity gap. So what we've been really working to do is to ask educators directly what their needs are and to help meet those needs. We've been able to provide lots of different supplies, whether they be technology or just things that they're needing in their homes to help facilitate virtual learning. We've also been fortunate to help provide basic needs for students as well, such as crayons, which the school district requested. And we're also able to help, even through a partnership with Truist, offset the income that teachers who typically work after school programs that they're missing during this time. And so we try to just chip in lots of just immediate ways to make sure that educators are supported, to continue to support the needs of their students, and that students are being as supported as possible while they learn from home. But also, given our role as an organization that focuses on providing research to the community to help us understand what we can do system-wide and at the school level to help close the opportunity gap, we've been leaning into the opportunity to bring national thought leadership to our community, as well as uplift the local voice of our superintendent and others to really understand what we're learning from the pandemic, what are some of the promising practices that we're seeing from our community and also in other places, and just really what we're going to need to do long-term to help adjust our practices and our policies to meet the students who are proving to be most vulnerable amidst this crisis.
Last but not least, what's the good news here is that in Duval County, the graduation rate is now at above 86%. That's a huge increase over the last 10 years. That is real progress.
Absolutely. I must say, given all of the work that JPEP has been able to support in our community to help raise awareness of the unfortunately, you know, high dropout crisis that we had just 10 years ago when JPEP was founded, we had about 55% graduation rate, and to be at 86 or roughly 86% graduation rate today is something that is to be commended, as something we should be very proud of, because when students graduate from high school, it truly is a signal that they're ready for college and the workforce. And I'm just so grateful that in our community we've made that type of tremendous progress.
Well, thanks for joining us amidst your own family challenges, which we all have right now. She is Rachel Tutwiler-Fortune, president of the Jacksonville Public Education Fund. Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you, Melissa.
Welcome back. Well, kids of all ages, whether it's graduating seniors or young children, are dealing with their share of anxiety right now in this pandemic. Nightmares, tantrums, grief, violent outbursts, sometimes even suicidal thoughts. As the weeks of staying at home drag on, kids are suffering. Dr. Elise Faluco is chief and associate professor with the Division of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry at U of Health Jax, U of College of Medicine. Doctor, it's so good to talk to you.
Hi, thanks, Melissa, for having me on.
It's great to have you. You know, as we've canceled in-person classes for the rest of the academic year, all of us are trying to homeschool our kids, and we're trying to deal with their emotions. And I have to be honest and admit that it's been difficult in my household, I think, with so many others. This has been a stressful time for kids and teens. And so what are you seeing in your practice?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're definitely seeing an increase in anxiety. Think about it as adults. We feel our own anxiety. The world has been turned upside down. We don't know what's coming next, and it's hard to predict what's happening in the future. And so especially for kids who tend to be more worriers or who like to have some sort of control in their lives, this has been upending for them. It's been completely difficult. So a lot more anxiety and stress for sure.
Right. And so what do we as parents do to try to help our kids manage that?
So I'm sure you've heard the old adage, which is like, put your own oxygen mask on first. And that really is important for parents to take care of themselves. Kids, especially preschool age kids and elementary school age kids, really look to their parents as an example, and they pay attention to us to figure out how are we responding to this. So if we look like we're incredibly stressed and running around like crazy, they're going to feel that stress and experience that. So, you know, the first thing to do is make sure you're taking care of yourself, managing your own anxiety, especially when you're around the kids, getting exercise, getting outdoors, and just trying to stay calm yourself. But then for kids, then as parents, it's really important to be patient, to kind of recognize that our kids' lives have been turned upside down, that, you know, all of a sudden where there was structure, there is none any longer. And they've lost touch with their friends, and they've lost the ability to do the things that really help them relieve stress, like everything from playing outside during recess to, you know, participating in team sports and getting socially connected. So mm-hmm. I think it's important for us to realize that as parents and just validate their own feelings. You know, talk to them about, you know, what are you feeling? How, you know, what is it like doing school from home instead of in real school? What are the good parts? And then what are the bad parts? And just validate that, yeah, this is a really hard time. And then also empower them. And, you know, this is hard. And you are tough. You are strong and you are resilient. And we're going to get through this together.
And when should parents think that there's maybe more something serious going on? And what should they do then if they're really getting more and more deeply concerned about their child?
Yeah, so we get worried about any kid that's having like excessive, persistent crying or irritability or anger or worries that are interfering with their ability to sleep, affecting their appetite or affecting their energy. And then sometimes kids who are anxious, they'll express their anxiety or stress through their bodies. And so we'll see, you know, a lot of headaches, a lot of stomach aches that we can't explain other ways. And so for those kids, it's so important to talk with a mental health professional. We have, you know, at UF Health, we're doing 100% virtual visits. So we just have our patients and families connect in through Zoom, through a secure portal, and we're able to just meet them and do visits while they're in the comfort of their home. And while they're also juggling, as you mentioned, Melissa, all the other people in the home and pets and younger and older siblings, you know, it's really a convenient way to be able to check in and make sure that they've got somebody who can keep an eye on them.
Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts about how we deal with the school year is almost out, in-person classes were canceled for the rest of the academic year. As far as mm-hmm. we know, schools will reopen nationwide in the fall with some precautions. Your thoughts about that?
We hope so.
Yeah, I think parents hope so.
Hope
but
so.
Parents are worried about their kids at the same time, you know. I know.
Yeah. This, I mean, dealing, I just want to give a shout out and lots of praise to all of the parents, all of the teachers, all of the adults who are helping take care of kids during this time and trying to.
Oh, did we lose Dr. Feluca? Oh, there you are. Go ahead.
Oh, just saying I wanted to give a shout out to parents and families, you know, for everybody who's been supporting kids through this crisis, trying to manage homeschool, you know, while also balancing work and this everything that's going on. And I think I missed your last question. Do you mind repeating it?
Oh, no, just, you know, I think parents are really about have mixed emotions about what's coming in a few months. The homeschooling has mostly been a disaster. I think my unscientific survey of my own household and every other parent that I know is telling me that it's just been a complete mess and disaster. And we're worried about our kids' grades on top of everything else. And They need that structure, I think most kids do, of the in-school environment to try to stay on task. But at the same time, we don't want them to get sick, and we don't want them to bring home symptoms, bring home the virus and be while being asymptomatic.
Right. And so, and at this point, we don't, I mean, I think we hope that school will be in person. Oh my goodness, so many of us hope that. But we still don't know, and we can't predict the future about, you know, what's going to happen. And so, you know, in the event that we don't go back to in-person school, I mean, I think we can try to learn from our experiences of virtual and homeschooling from the past couple of months that, you know, things that work are just trying to create, as you said, some sort of structure, schedule, and routine for the kids. You know, in school, they already have that embedded with classes that start at certain times and, you know, shifting to gym and, you know, recess and different activities. We've got to try to figure out a way to do that in the home environment so that they have predictability. Because that's part of the craziness is just not knowing what's coming next in general, but even within the day. So, you know, I know some families have created a visual schedule where they say, okay, you know, here's a picture of breakfast. And so at 7:30, we wake up and we have breakfast. And then next we do some reading and, you know, spend some time learning. And then we have breaks for fun and for exercise and other activities. And also try to somehow incorporate, you know, we're all practicing social distance, but we don't want to feel social isolation. So it's really important to reach out to friends, to family members, even to neighbors who you can safely stay 6 feet apart from and make sure that they're having that opportunity to play and release their stress and just get outdoors.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you for your time. She's Dr. Elise Feluca, Chief and Associate Professor with the Division of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry at UF Health Jacks, UF College of Medicine. Doctor, thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa.
And in a moment, we're going to lighten things up and dive into some new music, part of our new Jacksonville Music Experience. We'll be right back.
Cavendish Partners PA and Michael Cavendish, a law practice supporting Jacksonville's business community, downtown by appointment and on the web at cavpartners.com.
Introducing the Jacksonville Music Experience from WJCT, offering music lovers a variety of ways to enjoy favorite artists and discover new genres. Download the WJCT app or visit wjct.org/jacksmusic to start listening today.
On the next Fresh Air, managing your anxiety and fear during the pandemic We talk with Dan Harris, who's been conducting online meditation sessions during the pandemic. His book, 10% Happier, is about how meditation helped tame the negative voice in his head. He's a former co-anchor of Nightline and current co-host of the weekend edition of Good Morning America. Join us today at noon on 89.9 WJCT.
Cartoons and voiceovers are one part of the entertainment industry that's been experiencing a rise in demand during this pandemic, although even they've had a few work-from-home hurdles.
Nothing messes up a voiceover session like the guy next door trimming his trees with a chainsaw.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Animation, cartoons, and voiceovers in the coronavirus economy. Next time on Marketplace.
This evening at 6 here on 89.9 WJCT.
Anthony Fauci is our best-known public health official. Is he also a modern-day Galileo? The deniers and skeptics are out front, attacking the work of our finest scientists. And some are connecting the fight for facts now and the fight for facts back then. Astrophysicist Mario Livio on America's struggle with science, next time on 1A.
Today at 10 on 89.9 WJCT.
Here we go. Welcome back. Well, we are so excited here at WJCT because we've launched something brand new. It's the Jacksonville Music Experience. There's a lot to talk about with this brand new multi-station platform. Station manager David Luckin is here to tell us more. And I'm so excited for you, David. This is such a great new thing.
Hi, Melissa. Yeah, it really is. We're going to be on all platforms. And to really show the value and how strong this new brand is, this Jacksonville Music Experience, we're going to create our own jazz festival this weekend.
How about that?
Since we can't go to
the physical one.
Exactly. We've gone for so many years. My first one was 83 at Mayport. And I've been to almost all of them. So we thought, let's not let the city down. All of our residents.
Exactly.
Anyway, we'll put it on. So we're going to be on our Facebook page with the local. Wait to hear this rundown. Our JME Facebook page will have Friday, Aaron DeSico, Mama Blue, John Lumpkin, JB Scott, and Lisa Kelly. They are always at the Jazz Festival. Even the Chris Thomas Band. And on Saturday, Joshua Bolas, Leland Osborne, Daniel Ava. And on Sunday, Blue Muse, Taylor Roberts, Junko Royals, and Jonathan Baptiste. That's just to name some of them. Uh-huh. So that's all on the Facebook page. On TV, we're going to have Miles Davis, Herbie Hancock, and lots of great jazz performances on our Music Thursdays on WJCT, which is also part of the Jacksonville Music Experience. And then on Jazz, on Electro Lounge Radio, we're going to play jazz for 3 days. We're going to kick off every hour with a live performance. People like Al DiMeola and Art Blakey and Chet Baker and Weather Report and Duke Ellington, Miles Davis, Herbie Mann, Mindy Abair,
you name it. We have some music we can listen to, don't we?
We've got a little Weather Report to sneak up under us. So on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting at midnight, 12:01 Thursday night, early Friday morning, at the top of every hour, we will play you a live concert. Most of them are about 20 to 30 minutes, and they're from all over the world, from Newport to Montreux to Montreal to the North Sea Festival. This is just, as you can tell, I'm out of breath just reading stuff. There's a lot.
And this is so great because the Jazz Festival weekend is a Memorial Day tradition in Jacksonville. And of course, we can't physically go there and do it with all our friends and fellow music lovers as we have in the past. So this is a way to convene virtually and still enjoy the Memorial Day holiday with some great music. Now, as David's been saying, you go to wjct.org/jacksmusic to look at the full schedule of programming for Jazz Festival Weekend and a lot of other great music as well.
And a lot of these performances I've chosen were folks who have actually come here. So you're going to relive some great moments. And I picked a few concerts that I attended in other places so that we're just going to relive all of our favorite jazz memories from the old to the new. We've even, we got about everyone you can imagine, from Herbie Hancock to Monk to Dave Koz to the CTI All-Stars, Milt Jackson, even Joni Mitchell playing with Weather Report live in 1979. So there's going to be jazz for everyone, whether you like old jazz, new jazz, fresh jazz, cool jazz, bebop jazz, on the TV, on the Facebook, or on the radio. We got you covered.
And this is so fun because, you know, I know how hard you and so many other people in the building at WJCT have worked on JME.
Everyone but you, Melissa.
I know.
I'm a
slacker.
No, but
this is a big deal.
Props
and I'm
to
very
everyone.
Proud of everybody that has launched this, because this is a brand new offering for the city, and it is multi-platform, it's fresh, it's new, and it's music you will not hear anywhere else.
And it's all kinds of music. We're obviously taking advantage of the Jazz Festival this weekend, but we're going to do things with the JSO and all kinds of bands, no matter what kind of music, whether it's bluegrass or symphonic or hip-hop or jazz. Mm-hmm. We're going to build this. We have a we have a soundstage, but because we're kind of locked down, we haven't utilized it. But we've been doing a lot of virtual concerts. So we are in this all in. To offer this Jacksonville music experience to everyone from Fernandina down to Gainesville. Come visit, come listen, come join us.
Yeah, stream it anywhere. Go to WJCT.org/JaxMusic and download the Jacksonville Music Experience, or just experience it through our WJCT app. You can also make sure to tune in for the first ever virtual Jazz Festival weekend on JME. We're going to continue in the storied tradition of jazz during the Memorial Day weekend in Jacksonville. And thanks to our own fearless leader, David Luckin, the music will keep right on rolling along. 89.9 FM, Jazz on WJCT on Saturday, May 23rd, meanwhile, from 9 p.m. to midnight. And much more on our Facebook page as well.
Thursday nights on Channel 7.
And Thursday nights on TV. So it's jazz everywhere. But just enjoy the music because there's lots of music on the JME for people of all tastes. So kudos again, my friend. Thank you so much.
Be cool, man. It's jazz.
And that's our show as we let you listen to a little more jazz here. I'm Melissa Ross, and we'll be back at 9 a.m. tomorrow and connect with you then. Enjoy the music.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.